Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN. Perform, workout, energize. That's GenerationUCAN.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shops. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation. This last year we sent out 3,260 grants, totaling $4.8 million. Keep Challenged Athletes the game of life through sport to help out. Go to challengeathletes.org and check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com. As always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, the main man at the Play Tri Desert Triathlon, Mr. Matt Sills. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. One of my favorite events. I love early March races. We're coming up on Sunday, March 1st, and it's what we call a little bit of a buffet. You've got a sprint. You got a sprint do. You got an Olympic. You got an Olympic aqua bike. You got a lot of stuff going on, man.
Yeah, well, you know, got to keep it going, Bob. This race is going into its 21st year. Which which means it's legal and can drink now. So,
exactly.
Got to keep it going.
So legal and can drink. Wait, we talking beer garden?
I can't say that 100%, but it is being worked on, and you and I will kind of talk about it as we go along here.
So. Wow, that's very cool. So talk a little bit about. I know you're going in terms of a charity this year. Talk a little about what your plans are.
So a few months ago, I was connected to the FC Cancer, which most people would know it as an expletive cancer, but I'm going to be polite here for listeners. No problem. I was connected to Jason Williams, who started their triathlon team by Matt Houston, the owner of the Play Tri Oceanside store, our title sponsor. And Jason and I had played phone tag for a while about just kind of getting them involved in the race somehow.
Sure.
And the first time that Jason and I finally got on the phone, he picked up and he was being very quiet. And I said, "Is everything okay, Jason?" And he said, I'm in the hospital room right now. So let me take it back. I think most people who are listening are familiar with Sean English, who was an announcer who unfortunately passed away a few weeks ago from cancer that he had been fighting for several years.
Yeah.
And the FC Cancer triathlon team started out because of Sean. Jason learned about Sean, decided that he was going to start this triathlon team. But more important to me, I have to admit that I may have run into Sean once or twice during my time in triathlon, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. But my announcer, Mark, who is also a very good friend of mine, was good friends with Sean.
Yep.
Sean actually got him into announcing in the first place. And it just seemed incredibly fortuitous for us to get together once it probably would have happened if Sean hadn't passed away. But now that Sean is no longer with us and knowing how important he was, not only to Jason, to the triathlon community, to my friend Mark, to a former coach of mine from Team and Training, who I guess was roommates with him.
Wow.
A long time ago. So everybody knew him. He was very important to a lot of people. And selfishly, I had a very, 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 very close family member diagnosed with cancer last year. Actually, 2 years ago now. It was 2018. And thankfully, he's in remission. But it was an incredibly scary time.
Sure.
For me and my family. And cancer has always been kind of trying to find a cure for it has always been a big deal for me. I got my start in triathlon through Team and Training, so it worked out very nicely that we were able to set this up. And so FC Cancer is going to be the charity partner for the event. Portion of all of the registration fees are going to go to FC Cancer. We are working with them on having a possible beer garden. I'm hoping that in a few days I'm going to be able to say there will be a beer garden. But the proceeds for that will also go to them. We just want to support what they're doing and get rid of this stuff, right, if at all possible. It takes way too many people away, young, old, doesn't matter who you are. Every single person has been affected by cancer, whether it's personally, whether it's tangentially, it doesn't really matter. So whatever I can do, the little bit that I can do to help out and make it better for, you know, anybody who's dealing with that sort of thing, it's something I'd like to do.
So as a guy who came into this, and I'm not sure how many years ago you bought the event, but coming in from not being a race director and then taking on an event that's not, you know, 20 people, it's a big undertaking. What were the biggest takeaways for you in terms of learnings from that, from the first year you put the thing on?
You can't control everything. The first year that I put on Desert Tri, which was 2016, a giant, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, a giant windstorm came through.
Yep.
And I mean, it was to the point where I was about 2 minutes away from canceling the Sunday race. It was when the race was still 2 days. And I talked to Greg Klein about it. We pretty much have a conversation about it once every few months. Somehow that race will come up.
Of course, because it's like the worst the worst thing that can ever happen is having basically your entire expo, your entire everything, porta potties in the lay, everything was blown down. And you're basically, it looked like Sherman through, through the South. It was, you know, you had chaos everywhere, and it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll just put a race on tomorrow.
I still, to this day, and this is, I'm going into what is my fifth year of putting races on, and this particular race, I don't know how I didn't collapse into a ball and start crying at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I think I just went into, I went into panic mode. So like everything shut down except for the things that I needed to get through that day.
Right.
And I remember getting done with it, and Greg just looked at me with a smile on his face and said, I expected you to just walk away from this.
Welcome to race directing. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the main takeaway, is that I'm a perfectionist to a certain extent. I don't like it when I can't control every aspect, but you can't do that with racing, especially with the weather.
Right.
You never know.
No.
It's been beautiful out there. It's been windy as all get out. It's rained. It's been too hot. I mean, but that's the way it is with any race.
Of course, always. You're dealing with a lake. You're dealing with the amount of other, you can want to be perfect. But the problem is, you're besides the weather, you're also surrounded by people that you have to count on. You've got water quality. There's so many things: roads, water quality, lifeguards. So many things you have to control as a race director that you just have to sort of go, okay, I'm just going to have to, whatever comes up, I'm going to have to deal with it.
Especially at this particular venue, you know, now there are three triathlons that take place out there. There's Desert Triathlon, there's HITS, and there's Ironman Indian Wells La Quinta.
Right.
And all of us have to act as stewards for this lake. We talked about the quagga mussel before.
Yes.
And how the Coachella Valley Water District, who oversees the lake, is very insistent on nothing getting into that lake. So we have to do the wetsuit protocols. So that's enough. It's like, there's only so much you can control. So the stuff that I can control, I'm really particular about. And then the stuff that I can't control, even though my brain wants to fix, like, well, there's got to be something that can be done about the wind. Well, yeah, well, there's something that can be done about the wind. You can not do the race, and then you don't have to worry about the wind at all.
Exactly, yeah. What, after seeing the event, you'd watched the event, Greg put it on, and you saw it, and then you've seen the HITS events. When Ironman comes in, and this is obviously a group that puts on 300 different events, rock and rolls, Ironmans around the world. When you watched their production and got a, you know, got a close-up view of how they put on an event, what did you take away from that, and how did that help you with your event?
What I took away from that is that I'm not Ironman.
Right.
And I will never be Ironman.
Yep. And that's okay.
Ironman is a and that's the thing, is that it took about 2 seconds for me to realize. I could have sat there and gotten really upset about the fact that there's this multi-million dollar company coming in here and putting on it. They put on a really solid event that looks great,
yep.
And people love doing their events, and I can't compete against them, and I'm not going to, because that's not
– no.
I can't.
No. Yeah, when they roll in, when you see the semis roll in with the Ironman logos on them, and you see the tents and all the rest of it, you're just going, wow, okay. That's the Mercedes. That's great, right? But I have no problem. I don't have no problem being the Lexus. I have no problem doing what I'm doing.
There's things that they can do. I mean, obviously, there's things they can do that I can't.
Right.
I can't shut down 56 miles of streets. I can't. Go across Highway 111. I can't pay to do that.
No.
That's a big deal. I mean, I know what it costs to shut down streets and to go across a major highway, the main highway that cuts through the Coachella Valley, to shut that down,
yep.
Forget about it. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. But what I can do is make it a more personal experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
I came in from Team and Training. The first race I ever did was Desert Triathlon. And if I had done – the second race I did was Wildflower. If I had not done Desert Tri first and I had done Wildflower first, I would have been overwhelmed because there were so many people there. The waves were immense. I think there were probably 200 people in the wave that I went out on.
Yep.
And that was one of 30 some odd waves
there
that day.
Yeah,
it was 35, ridiculous.
36 waves. I remember. Yeah.
If I had done that first, I probably would never ever done a triathlon again, but I did Desert Tri first. And even in those days, Desert Tri was pulling in 1,200, 1,300 participants, but it never felt like I was lost in all of that. I always felt like it was a more intimate race,
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't just a number. I was part of this community now. And when I crossed the finish line, which was last, and I have no problems admitting that, my team was there. The finish line was still up because there wasn't any need to get everybody out of there. Nobody was forcing anybody to leave.
Right. They didn't have to open up highways, right?
Yeah. Once the bike course is shut down, we're in that park.
Right.
The bike course is the only time that you leave this property, and we have free rein over the park. We pay them to utilize it, and they let us run around it. They let us swim in the lake. They let us put up our expo and our transition, and there's no rush. So while other races have to get out and clear everything off, we have a little more time to hang around and allow those people who are coming in last, and I completely sympathize with them, they have just as much right to cross that finish line and get their medal as the first person to finish.
No question. Well, that's what we always talk about. Our sport is the fountain of youth. It is... It's an equal opportunity abuser. We don't care if you're big or small or short or wide. It doesn't matter. Missing a leg, dealing with cancer, whatever you're dealing with, our sport will make you better. Our sport will help you through the things that you're going through. So You know, that's what I love about Desert Tri. It's you look around and there's people who are absolutely doing their first ever triathlon. Like, what do I do with this thing? Does this go around my wrist? It goes around my ankle. What do I do with this? It's great. You know, and people with their wetsuit on inside out. And that's all that type of stuff is why, you know, we all know as race directors and people involved with our sport, we need to bring new people in all the time. And you put out a great welcome mat. This is, we want you all to come out and have a great first, second, third, fifth, 100th race experience.
One of my favorite things about putting on this race is when I get to walk around transition. Let's say it's about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
You're starting to get to the point where people are getting a little panicky. They know they need to get to the swim start. And you run into that one person who's never done a triathlon before. They've gotten there late, so they're having a tough time finding space on the rack.
Yep.
And just getting to talk to them and kind of give them a couple of pieces of advice, tell them where they should put their helmet so that they can get it off easily, whatever it is, those are the moments that I really enjoy, because that person, you could easily go, well, you just figure it out for yourself and have fun and get out of here because I don't have time for you. I got to go put on a race. But that person is going to come back, or they're going to go race somebody else's race because they were included. They felt like for a moment, okay, this isn't some kind of gigantic machine that I can't, I'm not going to be able to find anybody to talk to and get the advice that I need to get. Now they're a part of a community where it's less intimidating for them. Oh, now I know how to rack a bike next time I do a triathlon. Or, oh, now I know how to set up my transition mat. I know how to set up my equipment. Or now I know that I need to go to the porta potties earlier. Whatever it is. That's what I really enjoy about it is being able to help people get into the sport, because you're either going to set a bad impression for them where they're not going to ever want to do another race again, or you're going to set a good impression for them and they're going to want to continue doing races. And I'd rather do the second. I'd much rather they want to come back and do my race, do somebody else's race, than feel intimidated and just want to go do some other type of racing.
What we forget sometimes is it's interesting when you're in Kona and you're watching the Ironman finish and you see the emotion on people's faces when they come across, you know, this is a life goal, finishing the Ironman. We forget that when people are out at Lake Ouija and they're coming around and running through the sand, coming towards the finish, that it means just as much to them doing their first ever triathlon. And you see that emotion. You see that emotion at that finish line, and I'm betting that you like to spend a lot of time around the finish line just to see that emotion.
I absolutely do. I love when somebody crosses the finish line, and I don't. This is going to sound horrible, but I like watching somebody cry.
Yeah,
because I've been there myself. Desert Tri, the first time I did it, as I mentioned, I was the last person to finish. I was so wiped out. I really had no emotion left in me. I had left it all out. The 4 hours I was out there, I had left every bit of emotion I had out there. A few months later, I did Wildflower. And I crossed the finish line, and my now wife was standing on the other side of the barricades. And I walked over to her, and I buried my head in her shoulder, and I just wept. Because I never would have thought that I could have accomplished something like that. I never in my life thought that I would ever finish a triathlon. And to have done it, it was just such a release. And every once in a while, I'll see somebody out at Desert Tri who's doing the same thing. And I can't get sad about it.
No.
Because they're not crying because they're sad. They're crying because of this emotion that's coming out of them, that they've done this, that they've finished, they've accomplished whatever they were trying to do, whether it's because they were trying to lose weight, there was some emotional thing going on in their life that they were trying to work through. Whatever it is, there's a reason why that's coming out of them. And the fact that it could be at a race that I get to put on is pretty awesome. I think it's great.
So at one point, this was a 2-day event. now it's more fun because everybody's together. You got the sprint, you got the Olympic, everything going on in one day. Was that a tough decision?
Very much so. I didn't like it at all. And I'll be quite honest with you, I've spent the last few years working to move it back to a two-day event. It's just tough because there's a lot of money that goes into putting on these events, especially this event. And there's a lot of times that people don't really understand what the costs are. And then I try to explain to somebody the permitting for the event. And they're like, oh, you just got to get one permit, right?
No.
And I laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know that I have to deal with five or six different entities, and each of them has a different agenda. So it was very tough. But what I will say is that going back to a one-day event has allowed me to focus on some of the other things that had been bothering me about the event. The year that I took over the event, anybody who'd done it prior to 2016 knows that the run was always all the way around the lake. It was just a couple of loops.
Yep.
And it was awesome because you'd run off and you would just get to see everybody as they were going around this lake. And in 2016, when I took the race over, I was told by one of the entities that oversees the lake that we couldn't do that anymore. We had to change our run course and that we couldn't do the north side of the lake around where the canal was.
Yeah.
And for the last 4-5 years, I have been lobbying this group to go back to the old run course. And every year they've told me no. And every year I get emails from people going, when are you going back to the old run course? And I just want to yell at the emails. I can't do it. They're not letting me.
Yeah, right.
So that it's something that I've been working on trying to get this to happen. And the Salton Sea Triathlon Club, the local club out there, they have been incredibly helpful on multiple levels. And I talked to a few of the people in the group and I said, I'm really trying to get this back. I don't know if you guys know anybody at this agency who can help us. And then one of them said, oh yeah, I know somebody who's on the board.
Oh my God.
So this board member got me a meeting, and within 5 minutes, this group had agreed to let us run around the lake again. So for the first time since 2015, we actually get to run completely around.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that is so cool. I love that. Congrats, man. That people are gonna be very excited about that.
Yeah. I was sitting in the meeting and I thought I was going to blow it because they said, yeah, you can do it. And I went, really? It took you 5 years to make this decision in 5 minutes?
Wow.
And luckily I passed it off as a joke, but I was being serious.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right. Wow.
But I'm very happy about it. They've been very supportive of the decision. We've been working with them to make sure that everything works out. So yeah, we're moving back to a around the lake run.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always, that's great news. I like that. And I also like the fact that you've got so much going on with the, you know, the people can do the sprint or the sprint do an Olympic and aqua bike. There's a lot of variety.
I forget sometimes how important that is.
Because
we get Sheree Grunfeld brings out her kids, the Exceeding Expectations kids, every year.
Yep.
And most of them do the duathlon. And we're talking 40 to 50 of them.
Yeah.
Do the duathlon. So you take the duathlon. If I just went to a tri, or maybe I added just the aqua bike, but I took out the duathlon, you'd have these 50 kids who are using triathlon to seek out a better life for themselves. They're learning about hard work. They're learning about commitment through duathlon. And if I didn't have that there, I don't know. I'm sure they'd find somewhere else to go, but it's an important race for them. We've been working with Sheree for years, making sure that they have an affordable way of doing this race. I don't charge them the same amount of money that I would charge somebody else who was doing the race because they're a nonprofit organization. These kids don't have any money. So I want to make sure that they can do it. And they come out and they race.
Oh, yeah. They go, those kids, especially on the run, man, those guys hammer.
They're always on the podium. Always. The younger age groups in the duathlon, they pretty much, if they're not sweeping, they're taking two out of three places because they work hard. And I want to make sure that they can continue doing that because some people don't like swimming.
Exactly.
There's no reason that those people shouldn't be able to race as well.
So we're talking Sunday, March 1st, and for people to sign up, now's a good time?
Yeah, it's always a good time, Bob.
And where do they go?
DesertTriathlon.com. Registration is open now through race day. We do race day registration, but obviously it's a better idea to register before race weekend. You're going to spend less money, and you're also going to commit to it. I think people forget about that sometimes, is that if you're like, I'll just sign up on race weekend, and then you wake up race morning or wake up the Saturday before the race, and you're like, I didn't sign up for it already. I don't really feel like I need to. Sign up for it now. You're committed to it. You're going to come out, and you're going to want to do it.
It sounds like, Matt, from the conversation, that a huge influence on you was obviously being part of Team in Training and doing that your first event out there at the Desert Tri. I'm sure that day you weren't thinking, you know what, I want to buy this race one day, but and I want to be a race director after finishing last in this thing. How did that evolve where you went from, okay, I did this thing, I'm part of Team in Training, I'm bawling at Wildflower after finishing that event, and now I'm going to own an event and become a race director?
But you know how small this business is, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
It's everybody knows everybody. So I had I was unemployed when I first did Team in Training. And then during my second year, I got a job that I really did not enjoy. And unfortunately, I was at that job for 4 years. I did not enjoy it at all. It wasn't the job's fault so much as it just wasn't a good fit for me. But I stayed there way too long, and it made me really unhappy to be there. My wife tells me now, she's like, you were not fun to be around.
Exactly.
When you were working there.
Yeah.
So my release at the time was triathlon. That's what kept me going. And my coach on Team in Training was friends with Brennan Lindner.
That's always a tough one, Lindner.
Yeah. he needs to get rid of the N or the D.
Right, either Lindner or Lindener, something. Yeah, right. It's tough. Yeah, he puts on Pasadena Triathlon, LA Triathlon, does a lot.
Yeah. So my friend, my coach was friends with him and his wife, Michelle. And I was looking to just do something on the weekends because I didn't like my job. I wanted to do a job that I actually enjoyed. So Brennan started bringing me out to his events to work staff. And I just really enjoyed it. It wasn't work.
Yeah.
I got to move stuff with my hands, and I got to talk to people, and I got to fix problems. It was
right.
So much more enjoyable than the full-time job that I had at the time. And I just started working more events. I worked more events for him and some of the other event production companies around the Los Angeles area. And in mid-2013, I started thinking about what I really wanted to do with my life, because I was 39 years old. I was at a job that I really disliked. I needed to start thinking about I need to become an adult is pretty much what had to happen. So I talked to my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time. And I'm thinking about going back to school. Because I think I want to get into the business of sports and triathlon specifically. And San Diego State has a sports MBA program. So I started looking at them. I looked at the University of Oregon. They have a sports program, UMass Amherst. And decided to go with San Diego State because I'm from Southern California. My wife is from here. We wanted to stay close to home, and she got pregnant at the time. So I, at the same time that I decided to go back to school, we moved to San Clemente, and my wife was pregnant with our son.
Yeah.
So, you know, not too many life changes at the time. It was nothing.
Exactly.
It was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how I ended up getting into it. I needed a change.
Right.
And this was the thing that brought me joy at the time. And so, yeah, I went through the program, and I may have told this story before, but how Desert Tri came up was I was emailing different race directors. You know, I obviously talked to Brennan,
yeah,
but there were a few other people that I had emailed, and I waited a long time to contact Greg because I had done his races before, and I had never really done any of the other race directors' races. I had never done any of Renegade's races. I had never done any of Brennan's, Pacific Sports, Spectrum, nobody. I had never done any of their races. I had only done races out in the desert.
Yeah.
And so Greg was kind of this mythical figure to me because I'd only dealt with him through email. I had never met him, and I was kind of intimidated. And I emailed him probably in January or February of 2015. So I had finished school and I was working on my thesis project. And I said, "Hey, Greg, I'm interested in learning about the business. Wanted to know if you had some time to talk." And he emailed me back and he said, "Yeah, Matt, I'd love to sit down and talk to you. Let me know when you have the time. By the way, I'm thinking of selling my races. Would you be interested in buying them?" And that's how it started.
That's so cool. Well, you had a pretty good mentor. Greg Klein is one of the best.
He's really... We talk on a regular basis these days. He's been working my races for since I took them over from him.
Yep.
This is the first year that he's not going to be working one of the races. He'll be out at Desert Tri because he always sets up the transition.
Race. I know we see each other at 5 in the morning, transitioner.
But he's not. He's I put on the Palm Desert Half Marathon, and once Brenda passed away,
yes,
which was in December of 2018, Greg was kind of, you could tell that his heart just wasn't in it anymore.
Right.
Before that happened, he kind of had to get dragged kicking and screaming into doing the 2018 Palm Springs Tram Road Challenge. And then only because Brenda said, "I really want to do this event. This is something I really want to do." And Greg kind of capitulated and said, "Okay, well, we'll do it." And that was the last event that they put on. And once she passed away, you just knew that he didn't have the same spark in him because Brenda was half of that company.
Absolutely.
And they were best friends. And it wasn't just about putting on races for them. It was this close friendship that the two of them had where they also happened to put races on.
Yep.
And, you know, being able to be a part of that and being able to be friends with Greg, who, I don't know. First of all, I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for him and Brenda, but I also wouldn't, I don't know if I would be doing it now. Like, there have been times in the last 5 years where I've just thought to myself, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. It's probably a good idea for me to just get the heck out of here and go find a job somewhere where somebody can tell me what to do. But because of Greg, because of my wife, I have to put my wife in there because she's done an amazing job of tolerating me for the last 5 years. But Greg has really helped mentor me and make sure that I stayed on the right path and really kind of ground me, because there are times when I'm trying to do all of this stuff and he'll tell me, "There's only so much you can do.
Right.
Don't
overdo it.
Don't get so stressed out about it."
Yeah. Yep. It's true. That's so cool. Well, I look forward to racing out there as always. I love it. It's a great way to kick off the season. And again, so deserttriathlon.com, that's where people go.
DesertTriathlon.com, race on March 1st, 2020. We'll be doing, we're switching things around a little bit this year, and this is at the request of a lot of participants. In the past few years, we've done the sprint at 7:30 in the morning and the Olympic at 8:30.
Yep.
But a lot of people who do the Olympic distance have told me that it's much more difficult because they're out there
hotter
later in the day because of that. So this year, we're switching the two.
Good
Olympic
idea.
Distance at 7:30, sprint at 8:30.
I love it. That I can sleep in. That's good. I'll sleep until 4:30.
Bob, you got to get parking, man.
I know. I got that first spot, baby. It's always got my name on it. I love it. Hey, Matt, as always, thanks for taking so much time. Congrats on everything you're doing with the event. I'm excited about the run course being back. That was really one of the early draws for that. That running all the way around the lake was pretty fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you there, Bob.
I love it. Matt Sills has been our guest again. The Play Tri Desert Triathlon coming up on Sunday, March 1st. We are brought to you by You Can Perform Workout Energized, GenerationUCan.com, by VelaFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. This last year, we sent out 3,260 grants, totaling $4.8 million. Keep Challenged Athletes in the game of life through sport. To help out, go to ChallengedAthletes.org and check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com. As always, endurance lives here.